Welcome to our Spiritual Spotlight series, where we explore the vast and mysterious world of spirituality. Whether you're seeking guidance on your spiritual journey, interested in learning more about different spiritual practices and beliefs, or simply looking for inspiration to deepen your connection with the divine, then this is a show just for you. Join us as we delve into topics such as mindfulness, meditation, manifestation, energy healing, and much more. Our aim is to provide a safe and inclusive space for all listeners to explore their spirituality and connect with like-minded individuals. So grab a cup of tea, get comfortable, and let's journey together on the path of spiritual awakening. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Spiritual Spotlight series. Today, I am joined by She is a worldwide psychic medium, empath, healer, and energy worker. Thank you so much for coming on the Spiritual Spotlight series. I am so happy that you're here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you are in Canada, right?
I am. I'm in Alberta. I'm in Calgary, Cowtown.
Oh, I love that. And it's interesting. I used to live in Canada. I love the energy of Canada. This has nothing to do with our interview, but Do you resonate with the energy of Canada?
I really do. There's so much open space. There's mountains and Great Lakes. And like, there's so much. Just don't even get me started. An hour away from me is like Banff and Canmore and all these great hot springs. So I'm out there often.
So you get it. Like, you totally like just there's a magic of Canada. I don't think a lot of people realize there's just a beautiful energy of Canada.
Very much so. This country has my heart for sure.
I love that. Okay, so about you. So your journey into embracing your psychic abilities and spiritual connections is quite fascinating. Can you maybe recount a pivotal moment or experience that led you to fully embrace your gifts and dedicate yourself to helping others through your psychic mediumship and your energy work?
Absolutely. So this has been like a lifelong journey for me.
Yes, it has been.
but it really came into focus in my late 30s, actually. Wow. I actually had a massage with a lady at this big conglomerate massage place, you know, many places around the city.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize at the time that she was a Reiki practitioner, very intuitive, all of that. So through this massage, of course, she was doing some energy work with me, and I wasn't fully understanding of it then, the colors in my eyes and the feelings I was getting from it. And I'll tell you, I got home and I said, I need to meditate. There's something going on with my heart. And I meditated and I came out of this meditation and I was in complete bliss. I don't know how else to explain
goodness.
It. Like complete compassion, love. Yeah. You could have been ripping my head off and I would have been like, I love you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So in the coming days, I went and spoke with some of my spiritual mentors and said, like, what's going on? And they said, she kind of broke you open. and things are going to start really blossoming for you. So that was a really pivotal moment for me. Mm-hmm. And then attached to that, like 2 weeks later, I was in this metaphysical store and I was beside this lady and I was told that she was in danger, domestic violence, whatever else. And it was like, get out today kind of thing. And I had said that to her and she just started bawling and she said, how did you know? How did you know? And I said, I'm just told. And what I'm told, I listen to very closely and I give it to you. And she said, I think you just saved my life because I was going to stay tonight. I was in my fear of leaving. I was, oh my God, this is why I'm doing this.
That is it. And like, honestly, good for you for being brave enough to say something. Cause sometimes I think people get messages and hits and, you know, they're like, oh, they're going to think I'm crazy. I'm not going to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And especially because, you know, leading up to that growing up, mm-hmm. I was told I was crazy. There's not people eating in your living room. No way. You don't hear things. You don't feel things. You can't move energy. You're nuts. No, I'm not nuts.
So as a young child, like, cause I know that you've been intuitive for a very, very long time before you stepped into your gifts. So were you, it sounds like you weren't in a supportive environment.
No, actually I grew up with a ton of domestic abuse and violence. I grew up in a very separated home and my parents weren't involved with me or my sister at the time. actually two spirit sister, was a brother, now is a sister.
Wow.
Yeah. So we went through our journey. I raised my sister on my own. Mm. So at any time we would share things like this, it was just shut down on top of just being shut down in general. So I swallowed it. I swallowed it for many years. Didn't tell anybody anything, just sucked it up.
That is fascinating. So again, you mentioned that you had a strong connection with the spiritual realm from a young age. So how did you evolve in understanding and harnessing your abilities, especially considering having the challenges of not being understood by your family during your earlier experiences?
Oh, it was a struggle. I always tell people when we listen, we suffer less, and I am not good at listening. You know, being a teenager, not having that parental guidance, control, stability, routine. Right. I was just all over the place. I was drinking, I was smoking weed, I was skipping school. And it was all in an attempt to swallow the things I was feeling, hearing, and seeing, right. And an attempt to, you know, numb the neglect going on at home, right? So I spent a lot of years in that cycle, and it just wasn't serving me anymore. And I finally came out of it as I met my husband here in my mid-20s. I came out of it and he actually accepted it. He knew right away that I was intuitive. He didn't have to ask. Aww, just knew. I'm like, you're intuitive too. And it just kind of opened up. So of course you're nervous to say things to people and you really choke things back. But, you know, being around supportive people coming into my relationship with my husband and new friends and a new situation, they were all very supportive. So it was easy for me to stick my neck out and practice listening and speaking and understanding the things that I was being shown. It was just great. The support I've had from that point on has been amazing.
So actually, this leads into my next question. So meeting your husband, Craig, has had a significant experience in the spiritual dimension. Can you share more about the intuitive guidance you received about your future together and how the experience shifted your perspective on the unseen forces guiding our lives?
Oh, man.
Listen, she comes in deep and heavy, my friend. She may be hot, but I'm prepared.
This is good. You know, the first time I met my husband.
Yeah.
We met on eHarmony. At that time, I was working in the liquor industry, and I was like, I'm not meeting anybody in the liquor industry.
No, God, no. Could you imagine? Right? No. I don't even know. No. That's a no.
That's right. Hard no. So I was on eHarmony, and I actually met him on there, and he didn't have any pictures of himself up, but he had pictures of like his sports teams and stuff, lacrosse and whatever.
I love that.
He's been playing sports for 30 years professionally and not professionally.
That's amazing.
So I thought, okay, we're going to meet. So we meet close-ish to my house. It's called the Chocolate Bar. It's this little cute, trendy restaurant downtown. It's got booze and chocolate.
I want to go over the Chocolate Bar.
And the minute I saw him, everything in me said no. But my intuition said, you will marry him. And I said, there's no way I'm going to freaking marry this guy.
That is fascinating.
You know, based on ego and first appearances and everything else, it's like, I don't feel myself vibing with this guy. But within 3 months, he brought over his rice cooker and his guitar, and he hasn't left. And we're married 14 years. We have this beautiful 12-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had our ups and downs. We've had some major car accidents that really busted us open into another awakening almost. Mm-hmm. And just a bunch of stuff going with that. So constantly I'm giving guidance on my marriage. You know, shut up. Be careful. Use your words. Put your ego down, put your sword down. There's no need to fight, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just typical. You're married for so long, things just happen. So
of course.
I'm constantly giving guidance with that. But I know with all of my being that he's my person. He's my other half, my duality. And we really work well together emotionally, spiritually. It's very beautiful. And he's coming into his own with his energy work in his 40s. He's always done it, but he's never really understood the whys, the hows. So as we're working together with this, that's opening up for him too. And it's just been beautiful.
And it's beautiful that he was able to be a safe space for you, you know, when you were learning to accept your gifts and whatnot. And now you're his safe space to open up to more of his energy healing abilities.
Absolutely. It shifted, right? And it's a community. We can't do it alone.
Yeah.
But it shifted a bunch for me where I've had a mentor and I've been the mentee and then all of a sudden I'm the mentor.
Yeah.
It just keeps happening that way.
It is
right?
Interesting. You
give
how
me
that
a
happens.
Couple things to learn and then I'm like, hey, learn this.
You're like, oh, thanks. Now I want to learn this. Oh, do I?
Pretty yes. much. So it's been ongoing. I've had a few mentors in and out of my life. I'm currently mentor-less. I've been given that guidance and intuition that I'm just at that point where I don't need somebody to go to and confirm things and talk things. And it's been about 4 years now yeah. that I've been publicly on my own solo doing my thing. And it's been amazing. I've done readings and everything work across the world, Nigeria, yeah. Africa, Australia. Like,
it is amazing, like how your name gets out to different places and you're like, wait, you're reaching like what? I remember I got contacted from somebody from Ireland and I'm like, oh, like, I was like, but they're just another human. Like, get over yourself, Rachel. But I was like, this is
right.
so cool.
Rachel, you're just a big light and the world looks at you.
Same with you. Hello.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The farther across I get the seas, like Northern Ireland, I'm like, how did you find me?
Right. Like, I'm like, what do you mean? So it's interesting. We're recording this show. Most of my listeners now are in Australia and New Zealand, and I'm based in the States. So
I do
find that. So hello to our New Zealand and Australian listeners. I love
hello.
You.
Thank you.
We have a worldwide psychic here. Please book her. I love this. So let me ask you another question. So your journey through a pandemic and personal challenges led you to profound awakening. Could you yes. delve into how this awakening transformed your understanding of yourself, your connection to the divine, and the work that you're now driven to do?
Okay. That's a big question because I was really at a point where I was questioning everything. Why am I here?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the world was in that position, right? We're at home. We can't do anything. Why are we here? What is the point? We're spiraling.
Mm.
And unfortunately, during that time, I was in a place of hurting. There were some things going on and it just wasn't great. And I was holding on to things from my past, like childhood past.
Right.
And at that point, it was defining me. It's who I am. That's me. A little bit of victimhood here. Me. And one day I just decided that was it. That's enough. And I started drawing this picture. And it was just me sitting on the floor in this big puddle of tears in this room. And the door was locked and everything was on the walls that had ever happened to me. Neglect, rape, abuse, you know, physical abuse, a whole bunch, bullying, whatever that looks like. I've been homeless, like, all of it. I've
yeah,
been there
deep down.
And
yeah.
And I did that. And then in the leading days, it just kept opening and opening for me. And my connection grew stronger. And all of a sudden I'm talking to spirit or source or creator, like we're friends, and he's inciting me on my life and telling me why I've had all of these terrible experiences and leading me to this point. And there was a reason I'm at this point, and I'm here to be his light, to be his guide for people, to turn their face towards the light and go home, which is a beautiful thing. You can find home here.
Yeah.
You don't have to be dying to go home. You can find home here. You can find that enlightenment, that bliss, that love, that undying connection to the divine here. So we had gone through so many things, and he pushed me towards this elderly gentleman in Longview, actually. His name's Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And he's a shamanic healer,
mm-hmm.
77 years old and no guff. Very redneck, no guff kind of guy. And I came to him and he says, okay, we need to release this, 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 and this. You're going to go do these things and then you're going to come back to me. So I did. And I came back and he said, okay, you're good. Let's experience this. So we practiced together my listening, how I would intuit the things I'm smelling, tasting, feeling. It was quite a process.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It was quite a process, but the guidance I'm given daily from source spirit is just that my intention for being here is to help people grieve and let go and move on.
Yeah.
So through this journey, I've learned grief work. I've taken a couple courses with Amar Atma, grief coach. I've done some somatic courses. I've taken a bunch of breathwork courses. And my readings have shaped up to be like very pointed. So it's you, it's your trauma, it's people around you. It's past, it can be future. Like I look at Akashic records, it's everything. And sometimes people do come in and give you that closure when it's needed, but it's a very pointed reading. And it's like, no, we need to change this. We need to do this. Here's your guidance. Here's what creator has to say. And they can be pretty heavy.
Yeah. I mean, grief work is one, and I would ask you this because I've talked to a couple of grief counselors in the last couple of months, and they're best in the United States. So for you being in Canada, let me ask you this question. How do you feel that Canadians approach grief? Because I find in the United States, it's something that's ignored and it's something you should tough through and kind of be like, not give space for someone in a grieving process.
Absolutely. And it's very much that way here. I mean, we're getting better.
Yeah.
Things are changing, but it's still that very much like swallow it down, keep moving forward. You can grieve down here. You can't put it out.
Yeah.
And it's very hard because the more we swallow, the more it comes out in negative physical ways, right? So all of a sudden we have stomach ulcers, we have tumors, we have diabetes, we have insomnia. Like there's so much that comes up from swallowing so much negative, and especially with men. For centuries, men are like, you can only feel rage. And if you feel sad or if you feel happy, you're kind of a
It's true. 100%.
It's very true, right? So really trying to change that stigma with men. Unfortunately, not a lot of men come to me, but when they do, we have very great sessions, and I'm so proud of them for the work they do and the growth they do. I actually really want to hold retreats for men, teach them how to let go, teach them how to be vulnerable, teach them how to feel their heart and step out of their ego. It's so important.
Oh, that would be beautiful. So your readings are described as being a blend of energy work, mediumship, and guidance. Can you walk us through the process of how you connect with these energies of your clients and how these connections facilitate healing, insight, and guidance during a session?
Absolutely. So I don't fully understand how I read people. What I aim to do is get very clear, try not to have a bunch of things going on around me. And I'd say up to 3 hours before I connect with someone, I'll just start feeling them. I'll thread with their energy. And then I'm feeling either anxious, unsure, whatever their feelings are about the session coming up or what they're going through. And I'll actually be shown a bunch before the session. So I use these books of paper and pencils. I've got so many pencils. And I actually will like draw stuff and write stuff down before they come on to the session or we meet in person. And then we go through it. I always tell people the more open and honest you can be in your energy and in your intention, the better the reading will be. I always bring Kleenex with me because they are quite heavy. Nobody understands how common active addiction is with alcohol, with drugs, with food, just in general. Just active addiction is a huge, like, endemic, really. Everybody I talk to in one form or another has alcoholism down the line in the family. So that can be very hard. And as I'm talking with people and as I'm learning about their experience and feeling and seeing and tasting what's going on, there's also guidance that comes in for them directly from spirit or source. And sometimes that's walking away, cutting the energetic cord. Sometimes that's an AA meeting, right? You need support. You can't do this alone. You need to put down the bottle. But there's so much there. And as I'm talking to them, they're giving me that burden full on, quickly crying, snot flying everywhere, giving me that burden. And I graciously take it. I don't want them to feel so heavy anymore. Mm-hmm. And in that reading, I always tend to go through everybody's health at that point. So I look at your physical body and I tell you, okay, you've got protrusions in your small spine. I can see that. You have hip pain, neck pain, migraines, acid reflux, whatever the case may be. There have been instances where I've seen people on the brink of a heart attack with closures in their arteries. I've done psychic surgery for people with like twisted rotator cuffs. I've smoothed that out. It's been a real assortment, but it's very unique to the person. And it's just a knowing. Yeah. It just comes to me. And then I'm visually doing it and I'm physically doing it at the same time. And it's just, it's something that happens. It's very symbiotic to the reading and unique to the person.
So your energy work also involves, like you said, it has a visual aspect of it. So doodles and drawings is intriguing. How do these visuals enhance the message that you're receiving and convey to your clients? Because you also have your energetic art, your channeled energetic release art. So if you can tell us about that.
So I like to use these pads of paper because then they have something tangible to take with them. Right? A lot of people don't think to record Zoom or phone or whatever. So I always do these papers and I write down the majority of what I'm given. Sometimes we're deep in conversation and I'm not writing, but I do write down the majority of what I'm given. And if I'm drawing or doodling, it's a full-on channel. I don't know what's coming until it's out. And then I will say, why do I draw a lobster? Why is there a lobster on my paper? And people, I've been told, like, that's my grandmother. She was a lobster fisher in the Maritimes for 20 years, and they'll just start crying. So it's very much channeled. It's not something that I plan with drawing. Oh, I'm going to draw this or whatever. It just comes out. Mm-hmm. So it's very earthly. It's organic. It's unique. Yeah. But in saying that, that's completely separate from my channeled release. Okay. So because I do energy work and because I'm taking pain and burden from people, I get heavy.
Yeah. How do you manage that?
I get angry. I get sad. I get teary-eyed. I get all of the emotions I've taken from these people. And I learned early on, actually, through watching another psychic medium on Netflix, I'm not going to mention any names, but I learned early on that sometimes you can release through creative expression. Mm-hmm. So I played with it and I've come to the conclusion that poor painting is the way I release. Gotcha. So I can actually feel that channel of emotion coming out of me as I'm pouring the paint, as I'm listening to the guidance given in terms of what I offer to the paint. So there's many things offered to the energy: shamanic symbols, Reiki symbols, sacred healing stones, chakra stones, petals, flowers, whatever that looks like, whatever I'm asked to give that energy, I do. And then we bless it. So we bless it with either Tibetan rituals or we bless it with a smudge, sage, or sweetgrass. And then the client has the option to take those home with them, purchase them at a really discounted rate for them. And if they choose to let them go, they just go up for public for sale on my website. They're all numbered.
Yeah, I saw on your website. Yeah, like you have these like channeled energetic release paintings and they're beautiful. You know? And I love the fact that that's interesting how like this is how you can pull this out of your body. And I would imagine the client, if they look at it all the time, it's just continue to release and release and release and release.
Absolutely. They're meant to boost the actionable steps I've given you, boost the clarity that I've given you, boost the healing that I've done with you in the session, right? So they are very unique to the person. If they do let them go, it doesn't make them any less healing for people. It's just a matter of them finding the right person, right?
Right. I would imagine like as I'm sitting here thinking about this, and you can be like, no, Rachel, this is off base. But it's almost like, I wonder while you're channeling these paintings, you know, your guides are working with you. Everyone's guides are working with you. I wonder if like almost like the guides know that it's not going to go to that person. It's going to go to somebody else for the best and highest good.
100%. 100%, my friend. It's very intentional. It's very purposeful. I never question it. I just do it. They tell me to do something, I'm on it. I just do it. And, you know, it's been great. I've had paintings along my journey being given to complete strangers. I was at a market last weekend out of town in a small little spiritual fair. And I had this lady next to me who was just new to tarot, had come out of active addiction and was really nervous and anxious. And like, she was pretty bogged down with energy.
Yeah.
And I was told to give her a painting, and the painting was titled A Million Reasons. And I don't know if you know Lady Gaga music, but A Million Reasons is a story about how many things can you put on me before I walk away from you, right? How many things can be put on me before my faith is taken away?
Yeah.
And I gave her that and she just started crying. And she said, I love this song. I love the meaning of the song. Thank you so much for this. And she just like hugged it and took it home with her, and it's up on her wall and she just loves it. She says it radiates love for her. And I'm just so excited that I was able to give that to her. It's never about money with me, ever about money. Right. It's about the intention and the purpose of what we're going through, right? So if I'm giving readings at free for the next 10 years, cool. If I charge, cool. It's what I'm told to do.
Wow. So your readings are not only insightful, but they're also practical. They offering tools like breathwork, tapping, and meditation. So how do these tools complement the intuitive guidance you provide and empower your clients to continue their spiritual journey beyond the session?
Well, you know, it's kind of leading into a lot of mentor menteeship again.
Yeah.
Right. So they come back with questions. Am I doing this right? Mm-hmm. Should I be doing this daily? So it's a lot of back and forth and it's a lot of encouraging, right? Sometimes people don't have the motivation or the will to keep going. They suffer mm-hmm. with situational depression, ADD spectrum, whatever that is. Sometimes people really struggle with that. So the actionable steps I'm giving them are clear. They're forward. They're easy to do. They're very beginner for everybody. And they always come back at me a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later and say, hey, I've really put in the effort. I've done this. Can we talk again? And we have another session. And so much has changed. I don't even recognize their face because they're just glowing and happy. And they, I, so often I get, you have changed my life. Aww. I don't know how else to explain this to you, Marliana, but you have changed my life. And I'm so grateful for you. And it's just, it is what it is. I mean, I'm so constantly humbled and excited and full of joy for these people every time I give them stuff because I know they're going to put in the work and I know they're going to stop punishing themselves and they're going to treat themselves well. And it's just immeasurable. So the guidance through the reading can sometimes be a slap on the hand. But at the end of the reading, I always try and tell them, like, you're human. You're doing a really good job.
Yeah.
You're here. You get up every day. You fight that battle. So proud of you. So proud of you. But there's some blind spots, right? We all have blind spots. So I guess that's kind of a majority of my reading is pointing out your blind spots and helping you overcome them, helping you release trauma, pain, and burden. So the actionable steps I give very much coincide with the guidance in the reading, especially if they have high-grade anxiety and they're not willing to take medication, stuff like that, then I'm guided to give them certain breath work, certain movements, whatever.
That's beautiful.
So, so I get lots of repeat clients coming back to me. I really wanted to show you my progress and I really wanted to talk to you again because I'm in such a good place now. And it brings me so much happiness for these people that they've turned their face towards the light and they're out of the dark.
And I think like there's a difference between, you know, being like maybe direct and like, you know, mean with somebody like, hey, nah, nah, nah. Like it sounds like, I mean, you know what I mean? Cause sometimes
I get you. Yeah.
People come across as like, hey, you're picking up your life. Like, but your readings are meant to be like, hey, listen, let's stop. Let's pause. Let me show you where there's room for improvement. There's a reason why you came to me because you're in this state of grief and you're in this state of you're looking for answers and you don't want to waste anybody's time either. You know, we have people that come to us for readings and sessions and it's like, no, we're here for a purpose and let's not waste time because time is a valuable resource and let's get to the meat and potatoes of what you truly need. And I like that approach. Like it's not, you know, I don't want somebody who's going to be fluff and nonsense.
No. And I'm very much anything but fluff and nonsense. The first thing you see on my website is truth.
Yes.
And, you know, like even just last week, I sat down with a lady in her home at her table and I opened my book and I said, I hear addiction. And she just started crying and I'm going, and we're here already. All right.
I'd be like, so ma'am, let's continue.
Well, it wasn't her. It was around her.
Yeah.
Right?
No. Yeah. Absolutely.
After living in it for such a long time.
Yeah. And I don't, and like you said, people don't realize how living with even someone around them that's in addiction can be so heavy and it's so toxic and it goes into your energetic system and it weighs on you and it embeds into you. And that's where you get, like you said, the ulcers, the rashes, you know, our thoughts create our reality, our traumas get embedded into our cellular tissue, you know, and we're energetic beings. So it's like, okay, well, let me, what you're doing, you're shedding a light on that. And now let's release it to you. And then let's move forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. My very first reading I did publicly, was an older man out of town, and he was going to kill himself that night. And for whatever reason, he was looking on like the ads that you would post. I don't know if you guys have Kijiji down there, but
what's it called?
Exist or Kijiji.
Oh no.
Like community ad posting.
We have on like Craigslist back in the day.
There you go. So it would be like Craigslist, but not as CD. I don't even know how to call that. CD, pervy. I don't know.
Not where you go to find to murder people now.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, exactly. Exactly. So he found me on this like community ads and he reached out and he said, I have no idea why I'm reaching out. I could care less about anything. This is where I'm at right now. But I just felt like I had to reach out. And we had a 2-hour conversation and there was a ton of crying on both ends. And he actually stepped into himself. He is now doing well. He's working. He's happy. He's thriving. He's helping his family sell the family home and put the parents into care. Like he's really active and he's coming forth and his intuition's growing. He's listening to himself better. Everything is so beautiful. And he said, if I hadn't talked to you that day, I wouldn't be here. And there's always a reason, right? Yeah. Always.
That is beautiful. So let me ask you this. What? You're about to say something. Oh, sorry. Rachel, listen. So for anyone that's looking to book a session with you or to check out your beautiful artwork, tell us your website.
Okay. So my website is www.marlianaalissaman.com. Good luck spelling that.
I will make sure to link it into our show.
Thank you. So I've got a live booking calendar there. You can book there for the time that you would like. You can also email me. My email's on my website. My phone number's on my website. I have social media. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Threads. I'm on Twitter. Yeah, everywhere.
I love that. So one more question before we wrap up. You've mentioned kind of like how people are, you know, maybe struggling right now, going through a grieving process, maybe not feeling like themselves. What is a piece of advice you can give to somebody who maybe is listening to this podcast and is like, I need some help?
Breathe deeply. That is the first thing. So clearly I hear is breathe deeply. When we can breathe into our diaphragm, into our lower abdomen, we really have the intention to let go, right? When we breathe up into our chest, it's a ton of anxiety. It's living in fear. It's we're really restricted, right? So the more we can breathe down into our abdomen, even if you have to put your hands on your belly and practice breathing, the more we can breathe deeply, the easier it is going to be to let go. And secondly, appropriately name your feelings. Not everything is grief. Right? We have shame, we have remorse, we have regret, we have frustration, we have happy, we have sad, we have melancholy. We have so many aspects of feelings that we umbrella under grief or anger. And we don't need to. When we can understand our feelings purposely and intentionally, singling them out and naming them, they want to be heard and valued just like we do. And the minute we can understand them, we can let them go.
That is so true. And I also want to maybe further your statement that it's okay to feel your feelings.
Oh my gosh. Honor them. Honor them. If you're feeling sad, be sad. There's so much truth in walking through it to get through it. And unfortunately, that's letting those feelings flow. Yeah. And when they flow, they dissipate. It's when we swallow them back down or ignore them that they build and they build and they build. Honor your feelings. If you got to scream, scream. I choose a pillow, not out in the public.
I choose my car and I listen to music loud. And I'm like,
perfect. But you know, go play in a body of water. Go play with some cold water. Cut that negative energy. Just release and flow. There's so many ways you can do it. But listen to your heart, honor your feelings, and breathe deeply.
That is beautiful. I want to thank you so, 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 so much for coming to the Spiritual Spotlight series. You are amazing. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Oh, we're going to talk again.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you found the episode to be enlightening and insightful. Our goal is to create content that not only entertains, but also helps you grow spiritually and connect with your inner self. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, we would greatly appreciate if you could take a moment to like, subscribe, and write a review. Your feedback is incredibly valuable to us and helps us to improve the quality of our content and to reach a wider audience. We believe that by sharing knowledge and insights about spirituality, we can help inspire positive change and personal growth. So if you found our podcast to be meaningful and informative, we encourage you to share it with your friends and family. Thank you once again for your support and for joining us on this journey of self-discovery and spiritual growth. We look forward to sharing more episodes with you in the future.